The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 318. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. My guest for this edition is making his fourth appearance, and we haven't heard from him since November of 2019, episode 210. And the person I'm referring to is Jack Wallace. Jack is one half of the duo that brings you Disposable Fiction Comics. Chris Allen is Jack's partner, and these two gents have put out quite a few great projects in the past, such as Frankenstein for Mayor, Spellbound, The 512th Day of Christmas, and they're back at it with a new project called Chimera Island of Dreams. Jack's going to tell us about the history of this project, how he came to the idea for doing it, why he's doing it, and talk about the Kickstarter that's going on for it. In fact, I encourage you, please go over to Kickstarter.com, search for Chimera Island of Dreams, or you can check out all of the internet presence for Disposable Fiction Comics, such as their Instagram and Twitter at DF Comic, or go to Facebook, Disposable Fiction Comics, or go to DisposableFictionComics.com and you can get the links to go right over and check out the Kickstarter. It's a really cool Kickstarter. There's lots of interesting perks. And we talk about that. We even talk about the fact that Jack is also one of many who bring you the Columbus Scribbler. And for those that don't know what that is or you're not from the Central Ohio area, it's a comics-themed newspaper that comes out three times a year. And we talk all about it, including a nomination for the Eisner Awards, the new issue that's coming out, and talk about a lot of other things. So I hope that you will enjoy this episode. I think that you certainly will find it to be a fun one. And before we get to the conversation I have with Jack, I need to thank my great sponsor. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era. The golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Heck, I was just there this afternoon, and they have some really cool vintage Star Wars action figures in the front display case. So basically, I don't need to tell you that you need to stop by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. But if you're not, you can still check out the store. Go to the website, wgcomics.com. And you can even check them out on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Disposable Fiction Comics' Jack Wallace. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with a friend of the show, a man that hasn't been on the PVD cast in a while. And as a matter of fact, episode 210, which would have been November of 2019. And the person I'm referring to is, of course, Mr. Jack Wallace. Jack, how you doing, man?
Good, John. Thanks for having me back. It's been been too long. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. Although we saw each other last spring for the giant chaotic March Madness Remake Revolution tournament that I think both of our respective teams pretty much traumatized the judges with our remakes. So
Those were brilliant, though. That was really a lot of fun. I think every time I've done that one, I don't know which one I like more. I kind of like our Showgirls one a little bit more. I think it was a little bit more off the edge, but every one of them have always been good. In fact, your guys' Showgirls, I think, was even just unbelievable. had sound effects, had a post, everything. It was a whole production. It was great.
It was, but I mean, come on, Steve did some poster work. That was some fantastic stuff that even made me cringe a little bit. So that
we go for cringe. We're good at it. We like it. Cringe is.
Hey, you know, always welcome. Right. The way I feel like if you're tuning into the Three Geeks, you expect a certain level of rowdiness, mm-hmm. and if we don't bring it, then we've let the listeners down.
I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. You got to know what you're in for at that point.
That's right. Absolutely. So let's talk here, and we're going to recap some of your past projects. You have a new project out. We definitely want to highlight that. But Jack, you are the writer and editor for Disposable Fiction Comics. Your partner, of course, is Chris Allen, the partner, letterer, colorist, associate editor, wears lots of hats. Mm-hmm. But let's give the listeners a brief history of Disposable Fiction Comics.
Yeah, so Disposable Fiction started out as kind of a black and white anthology. The idea was that it was just going to be short fiction. So we put out two anthologies of kind of just very short stories. Each one had a different artist on it. I wrote all of them, Chris lettered, and then colored all of them for the second volume. We put those together, and then we ran it for a webcomic for a while, and then kind of just decided to, now they're all available to read for free on the website, disposablefictioncomics.com. Then we had a couple one-shots. One-shots are just like floppies. So one issue was one compact story. So we had a couple of those. We did, I think, the 512th Day of Christmas about Santa Claus taking over the world and spent Christmas for a year and a half. We had another one called Spellbound, where we were trying to do it was kind of an, I want to say Lord of the Rings meets a detective story kind of thing. So we had a couple of those. And then our big one, we finished a graphic novel called Frankenstein for Mayor, which was our first graphic novel, which was a big undertaking for us. That took about 3 years. We had an artist named Ronaldo Le Contreras. He was a fantastic partner on our project. The idea was that Frankenstein is running for mayor, to be mayor of Transylvania against his arch rival, Dracula. He has to get the constituents of the witches and werewolves and vampires to vote against Dracula. And I mean, there's a lot of underground themes, political justice themes, and all kinds of stuff in there. So, but kind of wrapped up in the Warner Brothers, you know, monster department. In short, that's kind of the gist of it. And we did well. We did two Kickstarters and got them off. And that book came out great. And now we are running a new one.
Before we get into the new one, if I may ask, with Frankenstein from Mayor, and I know the last time that you were on, we talked about it. How has the feedback been for people that picked up the book?
Feedback has been good. People have really liked it. In fact, I think one of the reasons I got my job at Essence was because I met Malachi, who's the owner of Essence Cartoon, and he read that book and really loved it and decided that was kind of how he got me onto it. So it was a big boon for me. Everybody that I have talked to has read it, has really enjoyed it. I think some people thought that it was going to be funnier than it was. In fact, when you present people with the premise, they automatically think it's a comedy, which is totally understandable. but it's pretty serious in tone. Like we play it pretty straight. It's a very much a serious political thriller, if you will, but with the cast of the monsters.
Okay, well, let's talk about the new Kickstarter. You have a new project. It's called Chimera Island of Dreams. Without spoiling it, without ruining it, can you give a little brief summary for the listeners?
Yeah, so Chimera is a book of, it's our first all ages book. I had kind of struggled because I would go to conventions and things, and you know, you have this cute little kid who comes up with like an Iron Man, mask and he wants to buy stuff, and I had to continually be like, sorry buddy, I got nothing but blood and guts and stuff in here. So I didn't have much. So we were really interested in just trying to do an all ages book that could be enjoyed by everybody. Similar to, I mean, if you think of like Goonies or Monster Squad, where they're movies that are about teens, but you know, the themes are kind of universal, and you can mm-hmm. kind of, and they can be enjoyed by anybody. So I would say it's less than a kid's book, but more about a book about kids, but you know, it matches your all ages criteria so that anybody about 9 and up can do it, can enjoy it. The story is four kids. They travel to an island outside their house called Chimera, where they are greeted by the island's only inhabitant, who is a weird little girl named Izzy. Izzy is kind of the Willy Wonka, if you will. She's the purveyor of this small place where kids can go and they can kind of live out their fantasies. So each kid has their own desire. One of them is obsessed with superheroes. One of them is they all kind of have their own dream incarnations of themselves. So one of them has a Captain Galaxy is a superhero. One of them is a fierce athlete, and so she dreams of a jaguar. And another one is a more analytical, and her inner being is a robot. Mm-hmm. And the last one is a Colin, who's a king inside. They're kind of introduced, but then what turns out is that they have to go in order. Izzy doesn't want to be alone on the island any longer, so she decides to keep the kids there for as long as she can. They have to then beat her in four different courses in order to get back home. So in one of them, they have to fight as superheroes against supervillains. In the next one, they have to run a race as their jungle animal selves. The last one, they have to kind of solve a logic problem as robots while they've been changed into robots. And then the fourth one is kind of a surprise. So you're going to have to read it to find out.
So I just real quickly, you took something right off one of my questions, was I was going to say, this is your first all ages book. What did you find that challenging to write? Did you find yourself writing stuff and then going back and going, wait a minute, that's not appropriate for children. Like that needs to be changed. Like, I mean, cause I'll share for an example, my other podcasting project, Matt Talk. We know our audience is older. So, you know, my partner and I try to, and sometimes even we still slip and drop an F-bomb and it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's difficult and you're like, oh, I can't do that. That's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So did you find it challenging to write a kid's book?
Not with the F bombs, only because those are easily searchable. I can do an alt find, and I can kind of go through my curse words list. I think for me, the hardest part was really kind trying to find that middle ground of things that kids would both enjoy and adults would enjoy something, and trying to make it sound like, I'm an adult with no kids, so straight up, I don't really have a whole lot of reference for what kids sound like. I'm not around kids that often, so I think getting that part was a little bit difficult. Trying to see if it sounded authentic to anybody or make it sound good, make the language sound entertaining. I think that was probably the most challenging part. But I think we did good. I think it comes off. I think all the characters come off as believable and lovable.
Well, obviously, Chris's lettering and coloring it. Who's the artist? And can you give us a little bit of background on he or she?
Yeah, his name is Huitzi, is his first name. I won't try and pronounce his last name. I'll just leave it to that. His first name is Huitzi. But feel free. I mean, if you follow us on Instagram, definitely check us out. He is a stunning artist. Every time we've tried to... We did try and branch out to try different characters. We went through about three or four different artists to try and see if we could get the the right feel for it. You know, mm-hmm. when you're searching for an art style, you wanted somebody who could do cartoony, but not too outlandish, not too much out there, but somebody with an incredible sense of imagination, something that would make it, I don't know, I don't want to say visceral, but something that you could believe in. And he really nailed that out of the park. He just, the way his style came in was just so perfectly suited for the story that we wanted to tell. Did an incredible job.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter itself. So it's going on right now. Can you maybe run down some of the perks, some of the benefits that fans can have if they go ahead and support the project?
Yep, and I will give his last name is Trujano. He would kill me if I didn't at least try. Huitzi Trujano. So we did a couple different things. We did I wanted to kind of keep the price as low as I could this time. So you know, for your $15, you just get your $7 as a digital copy, which is just to get it emailed to you, which, I mean, we're talking about a 100 page book. So that's pretty good. For $15, you get just the printed book by itself. But we did really make some amazing rewards too. So we have stickers, which are probably my favorite. We got four different stickers made up, two of which are our homages to those two movies that I referenced, The Goonies and the Monster Squad. We were all products of the 80s, and so we really thought we wanted to kind of do something that would be fun, mm-hmm. something that we could all kind of get back into. So we had four different stickers. There's that. There's another one where it's an all-out battle where everybody against the two superhero forces in it, kind of your traditional X-Men lineup, beat 'em up type of sticker. We also made postcards that you could send to anybody as if they were from the island of Chimera. So basically it looks like it just says wish you were here, and it's a picture of the island, looks and on the back it looks, you can mail it, it's identical to what you would want it to be.
that's genius. That Thank is you. Really well done, Jack.
What were the, oh, and we did do these kind of little handbooks. So there's like we wanted to kind of go the route of school supplies, something that you could get and your kids could give them, you could take them to school and do whatever you wanted. So there's two different bookmarks in there. One of them is based off of the that cover that we did for the Goonies, and the other one is just a picture of the characters, but beautiful little good bookmarks with rounded edges so you kids won't put their eyes out.
I don't know why that was funny, but I get a picture of a kid trying to jab themselves in the eye with a squared off.
You give a kid anything, they'll hurt themselves in general. And another one was small little notebooks, things that are just 30 pages with a picture of all the characters on it. Yeah, so we wanted to kind of pull those out and to kind of fit that mold of things that you won't have to buy everything next year. At least you'll have some cool little things to kind of share around and show people and to show off next year or this year, I guess.
So let's talk about, when does the Kickstarter end? Because you just launched it, what, about 9 days ago?
Yep. First of February, we're going until the 28th. So one full month. So we don't have we're getting to a little bit less than about 20 days, right? 19 days, I think.
Yeah. And so far, has been people, you know, plunking down some cash, helping you out. You're doing well so far in the initial phase.
Okay. Yeah, we've been doing great. We're about 33% in there, which is good. That's kind of, Kickstarter is one of those weird things where there's a whole lot of activity at the very front and a whole lot of activity near the end, and then in the middle ground is kind of like, I don't know what's going on, but that's just the trajectory of most Kickstarters that I've been a part of or seen. Is just, you know, that middle week is always kind of a I've gotten a lot of support from a lot of great people who have backed us for a long time, multiple times over. And so we're always very appreciative of them. And for anybody who even looks at it, spreads the word, anything.
Well, let's talk about where folks can get information about the Kickstarter. Obviously, I'm sure you go to Kickstarter, you can search for Chimera, Island of Dreams. I'm sure you probably have links through your social media and your website as well.
Yep. Yeah. If you guys follow us on Kickstarter or on Twitter or on Instagram, whatever it is, it's DF Comic on Instagram, DF Comic on Twitter, and Disposable Fiction Comics on Facebook. We are posting about them pretty much for the rest of the month. You'll definitely see us, and you can, or is easily Googleable. Feel free to check us out anywhere you want.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jack for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a great pool system. Basically, what I'm telling you is they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. So check them out online at wgcomics.com, or better yet, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And guess what? They're even on Facebook. So just go over to @WGComics and you can check out all the offerings that the store have. They're pretty active on that Facebook page. And no matter how you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, well, let's talk about some other things, including you are one of many people behind the Columbus Scribbler. So can you explain for the listeners, what is the Scribbler?
Yeah, so the Scribbler is, it's a free comic book newspaper. It's a free comics newspaper. We do a lot of different things. We highlight the work of local artists, first and foremost. The goal of the Scribbler is really to kind of educate the public about the comics medium and get people interested in comics, just in general, and reading them and making them in any way that they can be more involved with that medium is kind of our goal. We have a kids comic corner, so kids can submit their own comics, and we publish those. We have a history articles that people that Brian typically writes. They are just a history of the comics medium, things that have happened. I think he had a lot of great articles in there. There's how to's, little tips and trades on comic making in general. I do a piece called Meet the People, where I interview somebody in Columbus. And then I break down that interview into a comic script, and then we make a comic out of them. Yeah, I mean, all kinds of stuff. We added a top five for to interview people about their top five favorite comics ever. We do comic reviews. So I've been reading quite a bit of comics just to kind of keep up, which is, you know, hard luck in my business. Just, you know, I like to pretend that, oh, I have to do it for a thing. But yeah, it's great to be able to have an excuse to read a whole bunch of comics on the couch. So,
So the thing that I like about it, ladies and gentlemen, is it's a legit like newspaper. You guys, you know, make it into with newsprint. It's a legit newspaper, which I know there might be some people, some youngins out there listening, don't have any idea what a newspaper is, but I like that. It's a very nice extra little something to that project.
All that credit goes to Steve too for doing all of the laying out. That guy really puts his heart and soul into making that thing look like a professionally done. Thank God I'm not doing it. Thank you. You don't want to see my graphic design skills. So I'm happy that Steve's on board, because that would be a nightmare.
Okay. What issue are you guys currently on?
We literally, issue number 9 just got delivered to my house today, which is fantastic. We've been, we interviewed MS Harkness. I don't know if you know who she is. She's a comic artist who just moved up from Minneapolis. And we had a whole lot of people that we had not had before. So newcomers who submitted, which is always kind of exciting. if you're in the comic scene, for, especially in Columbus for a while, you think that you know everybody after a while. You're like, oh, I've been to the conventions. I've seen all the same faces. But it's amazing how many new people I've gotten to know and meet, and it's always fantastic to work with somebody new.
And the Columbus Scribbler got nominated for an Eisner Award, so that had to be just awe-inspiring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best periodical in journalism. We were one of four, so we got to go out to San Diego Comic-Con and do the whole shebang. Check out all the people doing cosplay. Watch the Eisner Awards in person. It was fantastic. I mean, you can't. If I never do another thing in comics, I won't be disappointed because I had that experience. You know, that's it. That's where it's at.
So, I don't know if we discussed this last time or not, but why do the Columbus Scribbler? Like, who came up with the idea? And just give me the idea, the pitch meeting, so to speak, for it.
Well, so I had come up with the original idea a while back, but my iteration was not great. I think I had kind of pitched this idea that maybe we should have something around to kind of, I mean, I think of it as kind of the Wu-Tang Clan, right? So, you know, you have all these individual people who are all out here doing their own thing, but when you put everybody in together, you create this thing that is just above and beyond everybody else. You know, it's bigger than that. So I had pitched an idea about this to everybody who had listened to it for a long time, and I got a lot of polite rejections and that's not going to work type of responses typically. Not that people weren't into the idea, but they just either one, they didn't want to put in the time or effort, or they just thought it was too big to get done. And then I think I remember ended up talking to Steve, and Steve was the one who suggested that it should be a newspaper, that it went from like a magazine or a comic book into a real newspaper. And that kind of changed a lot of the look and the premise of what we were doing. And I think I had, and then I think I pitched Brian initially, and he was not on board at first. I think he kind of passed, but I think a couple months later, he asked me out to lunch and we sat down, and that's when he was like, yeah, he had his, I think his wife had kind of convinced him that it was a cool, kind of a cool idea. And he's the one who brought on Derek. And after that, we were pretty much full go. I think then it was kind of a, well, what is this thing even going to be? What are we even going to talk about? And we had to go through, I don't know, what should it be about? And, you know, just discussion after discussion of like, is it going to be more about comics? And what are we? Yeah. I mean, so that took a long time to kind of hammer out a formula. But here we are. We've gotten it down pretty well now. So we're pretty excited about that. It's really coming along pretty well.
And you drop a new issue, what, four times a year?
Three times a year. Yeah. Yeah. So last year was our first time doing three times a year. Before that, we were only doing two. Three was good. Three feels about right. Okay. You got to imagine we're all comic creators on our own. We all got full-time jobs and we're doing this just because we love it. You know, it's such a fun project to do. But that being said, it is a lot of work. It is just a whole mountain of, and as soon as you think you're done, there's the next issue sitting on the deadline waiting for you. So it is nice to have that kind of continual projects of everything. But I think to do it for, I mean, unless we're willing to quit our jobs and go full time into it, which I don't think is happening right away. I think we're going to stick with three, and that's been about great. That is just a sweet spot.
Well, there you go. Okay. I thought you had talked one time about trying to do one a season, like winter, yeah, summer, not.
We all have fantasies, John. that one was a bit of a stretch. We're good at three for now. We'll see how
we're
it goes.
Good for three. Okay. And you know what, folks? If you're in the Central Ohio area, stop by any comic book store. They're there. I mean, I was just at World's Greatest Comics earlier today. There's still issue 8 sitting there on the stand. There's still a couple. There's only a couple left, but they're there. So just look around. And I know bookstores as well. There's coffee shops. I think you guys drop them off. You have a whole slate of places where you can find the Columbus Scribbler.
That's right. Yeah. And big thanks to Jeff from World's Greatest. He's a fantastic supporter of ours. Yeah, we try and almost all comic shops, we're trying to get them into every single one of them. There's a whole list of retail stores. We try and hit up libraries. We are now kind of looking for volunteers and stuff to help us kind of spread distribution as well. And that's been a big benefit for us. It's all around the city and only growing by the month. So that's great.
There you go. So keep your eyes out for issue 9 hitting the newsstands here. What, next week, probably?
Yeah, next week. Hopefully this weekend, some of them go out and next week as well. So yeah, we're getting into that distribution stage, which is always exciting.
Cool. Well, let's talk about a couple other things here, Jack. You are also working with a company named Essence Cartoon. Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a little bit about what that project is about?
Yeah, so Essence Cartoon is a animation studio here in Columbus. Essence is an animation studio and who does a whole variety of projects. My job is really just as a script writer. So when somebody comes in, they have an idea for something, and they will hand it off to us. We will write out an animation script, and my job is pretty much to translate whatever they have into a workable script that an animator can use to then storyboard and build out. From that, I've worked on a whole slew of really weird and fun projects. I've done some music videos. I think I've done 3 rap music videos, and those have been fantastic to do. I've done some promotional work, like some, just people making ads for their company who want to, you know, our company wants to start advertising on Instagram or TikTok, and so we're helping them create ads. There's a couple pieces of passion projects for people who wanted to do things, just general storytelling. So a whole wide variety of, whether it be an explainer video, which is basically kind of tell us how your product works, that sort of thing. And yeah, so I've worked on a whole manner of different material doing that. And that's been just great. I mean, it is a fantastic experience to be able to work with that crew and to not only get paid to do something that I absolutely love, and to see a finished product in the end is always very cool.
Do you work on projects from all around the world, all around the U.S., or is it Ohio only for Essence?
Oh, no, yeah, it's all around the world. Okay. I think, in fact, we had, I want to say there was a Saudi Arabian company that was doing a milk product commercial. So that was dancing cows and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of weird, and not weird, but different projects from all over the world. I think one of my first projects was doing a company that was a maid service. It was a Swedish maid service. So yeah, there's all, you never know what you're going to get. Hey, here's a project. All right, cool. Let's check it out.
Well, let's also talk about another company that you've been partnered up with and been working with, Onage Animation. Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember correctly, they're out of Kentucky, correct?
No, Onage Animation is run by a guy named Russell. Russell, you can, right now, if you go to YouTube and you look up Onage Pranks online, those, he has, Russell does, I want to say, kind of prank calls.
Okay.
In the vein of, basically, he would do prank calls and then we would do animations over them. So my job was to really work on kind of punching up jokes and visual gags to make sure that they're everything that they want to be. Go through the script, kind of make sure that all these things are as funny as you can make them. And what a cool job is that.
Yeah. So where are they based out of then? I thought you said that he was out of Kentucky. I was wrong on that. Where are they based out of Columbus?
No, he's a guy who's out of, he was in California, and I think he's now in Washington, D.C. So he kind of goes back and forth. Okay. But he also works with partners from all across the globe. I mean, that's one of the beautiful thing about these days is you can work with people from anywhere, and as long as everybody, and with all these newfangled tools, you can really do all kinds of stuff.
Yes, the technology is awesome, although the times that it doesn't work, that's when it gets dicey.
But here we are. We're doing a podcast from our separate homes. I mean, look, this is...
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it so much more convenient because, you know, with your schedule, my schedule, you know, we talked, you know, via email there about how to do it. And that's the one nice part. You know, it is still cool to kind of do it in person. But, you know, when you're kind of crunched for time because you have other commitments, it makes it much easier to just sit down and fire up the computer. And there you go.
Let me ask you this, John. Have you embraced the Zoom call? Have you gone from the fear? I mean, I feel like everybody was burnt out for a little bit on it, like throughout 2020. But I think that we're kind of getting into.
You know what? I'm not burned out. Okay, this is going to sound really kind of like pretentious, but I've used this company Dialpad for a number of years, and I have had nothing but great luck. I would say that. There's been a few times where it's not acted correctly. It's been a little bit weird. It's been a little hinky. I get it. I've used it way before all this started. So I'm comfortable with it. I'm not a real big fan of Zoom because I think it's like, I don't know, like I want to say, and this is going to sound awful, but like Zoom is like the Chevrolet of this type of stuff. Dialpad's kind of like a Lexus. All right. And I'm going to stick with the Lexus. All right.
All right. So, all right. Shout out to Dialpad. If you guys are looking for sponsors, I mean, this is.
Hey, yeah. I'll read copy all podcast long if you want to write a check. you know, one of the things I do enjoy as well, Jack, is that you certainly, as you just mentioned, the Wu-Tang Clan. So I got to ask, is some musical tastes right now? Is there anything or anyone or any band that's really like, you know, got your ear, so to speak?
Man. You know what's funny is I had been kind of in a slump from the whole 2010 on. You know, there really for me there hadn't been a whole lot, but slowly I had kind of been expanding my genres. But you know, for me, it's always I really am a big fan of alternative rock, and it's been kind of that oh, I don't know how to explain it, but that. Kind of not necessarily depressing kind of shoegazer rock, but so there have been a couple bands I've really enjoyed. One of them is called Proto Martyr. If you're looking for a guy who just kind of think about modern rock, but with a guy who just likes to growl or lazily speak into angrily speak into his microphone, is the best way to put it. There's a couple bands like the Parquet Courts is another one. I really like those guys. And the Chats. If you haven't listened to the Chats, they're an Australian punk band. Oh my God. Just songs about their favorite pub food or about getting the clap. They're ridiculous. And I sincerely, they're just enjoyable and easy listening where you don't have to, you don't have to think too hard just to enjoy the song. It kind of reminds me of the old days of like the old punk or Ramones where it's like, you don't got to think too hard. You just kind of got to enjoy it. And so that's a kick I've been on for a while.
Okay. All right. Nice.
What about you? Is there any recommendations I should be looking out for?
You know what, man? I really like Girl in Red. I mean, she is from Norway. Yeah. Just got a real unique sound. Really a big fan of I can't remember the name of the song that CD 92.9 is playing from that band, but Girl in Red I was a big fan of. You know, locally I also like Detention. You talk about, you know, kind of kind of, if you will, like a Hayley Williams, but you know, that type of punk, you know, not so much the hardcore stuff. Of course, you know, I've been a big fan of Run the Jewels.
Absolutely.
We talked about it. That fourth album I just picked up a while ago, actually, I think last year. It's amazing. I mean, that's my stuff. I'm with you. I like a lot of different types of music. I'll tell you right now, the one thing that I am contemplating, but I don't know how expensive tickets are. I love The Who.
Yeah.
They're back out on tour. And I'm like, they're coming in October. I'm like, I bet that that's probably easily like $300.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no
and
doubt.
I'm like, I've seen them before. I'm like, do you really want to go? Because, you know, when you saw them 20 years ago, it was 20 years ago, you know.
Right. And,
but yeah, you're like, well, maybe I want to leave it that way. I want that image in my mind.
Yeah, I had that with Rage Against the Machine. I was like, man, that's a lot. I mean, I think when they went on tour, I was like, ooh, God, that's been a dream since high school of wanting to see those guys. And then I looked at ticket prices and I'm like, you know what? I do like them a lot, but I don't know if I can do
Jack,
that.
I was on the same kick because I heard the reunion tour and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going because that's my one regret, the one band that I regret never seeing. And I'm like, yes. And same thing. I looked at ticket price. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, what the hell? $900 for floor seats. I'm like, are you insane? Wait a minute. You're the anti-capitalist guy.
I know, right?
What the fuck are you doing with $900 seats?
You guys are supposed to be the anti-capitalist guys, you know, and you're shilling out for these. I mean, geez Louise.
Yeah. Oh, see? Yeah. Yeah.
Things change, John. That's all I can say.
Things, we all mellow. We all just guess, like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know. All right, with that, let's start wrapping things up here, Jack. Let's run down one more time that the Kickstarter, Chimera Island of Dreams, is going on till the 28th of February. Go over, plunk down some cash, pick up some cool perks, pick up the book, and you can find that through all of your social medias, the website, everything. So do you want to run over those one more time real quick for our listeners?
Absolutely. Yep. Disposable Fiction Comics. Disposable Fiction Comics is the name of the company. You can check us out on Facebook under the same name. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are both at DF Comic. Feel free to check us out anywhere. Send me an email, disposablefictioncomics@gmail.com. Whatever you want. Hit me up on all of them. I'm all around. So please
and
do.
Hey,
I'd love to hear from anybody.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to interrupt there, Jack, but if you want to check out some cool comics, I mean, you have them. You have the library right there on the front page of disposablefictioncomics.com, so you can sample some cool tales, you know, and get caught up on the universe that Jack has created here, and Chris as well.
Yeah, there's about, I mean, there's over 30 stories on there just you can to read for free. Feel free to check them out and enjoy at your leisure.
There you go. Jack, it's been fun, man.
John, always a pleasure. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you inviting me back again and again. Love to talk to you. I'm always happy to do it.
Awesome, man. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jack Wallace talking about Disposable Fiction Comics and their new project, Chimera Island of Dreams. It certainly is a new offering from the guys at Disposable Fiction Comics. Please check out the Kickstarter, all right? You have till the 28th of February. Do it now. You know, as Jack said, you know, in the middle of a campaign, it gets a little slow. Help him out. If you go over, you like what you see, plunk down some money, or you don't even have to do that. Just let everybody know about it, and Jack will appreciate it. And I want to thank, of course, Jack for coming back on again. And it's always cool to catch up with him. And I hope you enjoyed the conversation that I had with Jack. And if you did, you can let me know about it by just dropping me a line. And you can do that a couple different ways. First off, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just simply look for at PVDcast. And if you want to be old school and shoot me an email, you can do that too. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. And maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First, head on over to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, where you can get every new episode when it drops on Thursday. And of course, the PVDcast is available through all of those major podcasting platforms as well. All you have to do is search for PVDcast in the search engine of your favorite podcasting platform, and you should be able to find it. Sometimes you have to put my name after it. I don't know why. It's something weird with the internet. But nonetheless, if you do that, I'm sure you will find this great podcast. And if you listen to any episode, whether it's the newest episode or past episode, please do me a favor. You got to rate and review. It helps me out so much in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss a great episode of the PVD cast. But there's even another way that you can check out the PVD cast, and that's through the Facebook page of this podcast. Every single Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I play the weekly episode, and I even hang out in the office. And if you have questions or comments, you can drop them in the comment section, and I will respond to them. It's a whole lot of fun, so you don't want to miss it. That's each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here and get on out of here. I thank you for checking out this episode one more time, and I shall chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.